Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 26. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. So he leaves there, they secret him out of the city. He goes down to Jerusalem and he meets with one or two quickly. And while he's there, he's preaching and they try to kill him there. He's needed to be delivered all the time. And the Bible says, I wasn't disobedient, verse 19, to the heavenly vision. I went to Jerusalem. I went to Damascus. I went to the Gentiles. He spent 25 years in a missionary effort, going to all those cities we've been reading about. The Bible says, and what did I do? I taught them, verse 20, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. And it's interesting because these words here, we talk about the word repentance. It means to change your mind. And a lot of people say, well, I'll change my mind and believe in God, but they really don't want a new life. And when he says that he taught them to do works meet for repentance, the word for do here is the word practice. He says, I wanted them to practice. Isn't this like out of 2 Peter chapter 1 where the Bible says, add to your faith virtue. Your virtue, knowledge. Your knowledge, self-control. To self-control, patience. To patience, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you and abound, you will neither be unfruitful nor barren in the knowledge of God. But if they not be in you, you will be short-sighted even unto blindness. Listen, forgetting that you are washed from your sins. The reason I quote that for you is because you need to realize some people need to be told, yes, repentance means changing your mind. Yes, it means turning to God, but it also means practicing righteousness. Because if you don't practice righteousness, you will be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of God in your day-to-day life. And you will find yourself withering or scorched and hobbling all the way to the gate of eternity. Now that's a little sidebar, but you need to realize that God tells you, you need to practice righteousness. Titus is all about, tell them to do good works. Not to be saved, but because they are saved. And when you do good works, God will show up. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to support those whose hearts are completely His. There are people who have a partial heart, and they're not seeing God in their day-to-day. May I say to you, believer, you need to go tell people about Jesus somehow. You need to do it through your hands and your feet, first of all. And if you get a chance, share it with your words. But show them Jesus in your life first, and show them and show them and show them till they can't deny it. It's amazing when you really come out of the closet. You know, everybody else is coming out of the closet, by the way, today, right? Everybody's coming out of the closet. Time for the Christians to come out of the closet. Amen? We need to come out of the closet. We need to come out for Jesus. We need to show them Jesus not by being hateful, mean-spirited, condemning, but by being merciful, understanding, pitiful and compassionate where need be. We need that because that's what Jesus wants to you and to me. The Bible says that He preached to them to do works that were worthy of repentance. And in verse 21 it says, for these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Now that sounds like he was doing something really terrible. Turn to God and do good works. Wow, we should kill him right now. You know, that may sound funny if it weren't so much a part of our day-to-day hearing on our news media out there, right? They're doing good, so let's vilify, let's demonize. The Bible says in verse 22, having therefore obtained help of God, and that's what he's doing, is he's referring back earlier where he says in verse 17, he's saying, God said he would deliver me from the Gentiles and the Jews as I went along. He says, having obtained help of God, he says, listen, I continue unto this day, witnessing to both small and great. Hey, Agrippa, which one are you? He's one of the great ones. And he's on his way to Caesar. He's been to Felix. He's been to Festus. Now he's to Agrippa. He says, to the small and the great, I don't make any bones about who's who. I'm going to tell them about Jesus because I have a hope of the promise that has come into its own. And I can tell them with clarity, Jesus is Lord. You can trust him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father but by him. He says, listen, I go and I tell small and great and saying none other things than those things that the prophets and Moses did say should come. That Christ should suffer in verse 23. That he should be the first that should rise from the dead. See that first. His resurrection is not just about him rising from the dead and therefore salvation in faith. His resurrection also reminds us we're resurrecting one day too. Saved and lost alike, just and unjust, all are going to raise. He says that he should be the first to rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles.
And it's funny because Festus is like, wait a minute, I didn't mean for this to get out of hand.
Paul, when I asked Agrippa to hear your case, I just wanted to get some details so we could run that up to Caesar when he goes there. Paul, you're beside yourself, he said, verse 27. He's a little embarrassed. You ever been there? Man, somebody's talking there, letting you know, getting a little happy in Jesus, you know? Like, man, maybe you need to chill out a little bit, you know, because maybe it wasn't the right time. And Paul's like, no, this is Agrippa. I know he knows what I'm talking about. He'll see the context. Maybe I can win him, man. You're beside yourself. Much learning hath made you mad, in verse 24. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. And you know those words you have to underline. Truth and soberness, because this is what the world hates. Truth they don't like so much. The Bible says, outside of heaven is whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. People love and make lies all the time. And how dare you stand up and say that's a lie, right? There's a number of them in the political world they're trying to use to get you and me to get in tow with everything they want to do so that we'll just believe them and give them our money and our wherewithal and our health care and everything we got. Let them be God and forget about God because we don't need God because we got the government. That's part of the foundation for the lies that are brought. But the one that I want to drill into for a moment is soberness. That doesn't mean sober from alcohol. It means soberness of mind. You know, we want to stay kids. We want to still be young. We want the world to think we're still young. I get to be this age now in this generation. Do you realize that this generation has lost its way? The young people are trying to stay young, and our government encouraged it when they put kids on health care to 26. You don't have to grow up, just stay home. We are in trouble down here. And it's because the world would like us to think that we are down here to just have fun and fulfill every desire of the flesh. He says, no, soberness. He says, speaking words of truth and soberness. It's not wrong to be sober, to somehow come to a place where we become what the Bible calls grave. In the Bible it says, older men, let them be grave. Doesn't mean, it means to have gravity. Have your feet on the ground. Have a serious look in your eye. Be willing to take a hit on the chin if you have to for Jesus' sake. And be willing to stand against evil. If somebody is harassing somebody else that is smaller and weaker than you, you can go and stand in the gap and say, you know what? If you're going to do them, you're going to have me too. Because you and I are supposed to be men who are men and women who are women, and we're supposed to be grave. He says, I taught them words of sobriety and truth. He says, listen, the king knows these things in verse 26. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely. And I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. See, he's after Agrippa. You know, there are people, the Bible tells us, that we're supposed to turn away from. There are people we're supposed to withdraw from. There are people that we're not supposed to cast our pearls before. Remember, Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine. See, there are times when we're supposed to turn. But Jude is the one who says we're to contend for the faith once delivered for all, looking for the mercy of God. You see, God's mercy, Paul saw, was potentially still in the cards, as it were, for Agrippa. You see, he was reaching for him. And he was happy to do so. He's a king that he could have won. By the way, he didn't win Agrippa. But if you remember in his Philippian letter, he says that my imprisonment has fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel. He says people in Caesar's household, have come to faith. Well, he's in jail. People are getting saved. That's okay. I'm good to be in jail. Listen, I don't know where you are today, but wherever you are, God's in there. He leads us in triumph wherever we are. And he will take you and make you to be one of his very own ambassadors, his minister and witness. Wherever you are. Show them Jesus. Love on them. And reflect the Lord Jesus. Verse 27, he says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know you believe. You see a preacher in him, don't you? You believe? I know you believe. He answers for him. He's excited, man. He's happy to know. And Agrippa's getting it. Agrippa's getting it. Look what he says. King Agrippa said in verse 27, believest thou the prophets? I know. Look at verse 28. He says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Wow, almost. Almost. You know what? I tell you something, folks. There's a lot of people who've almost been persuaded. The problem with that is that when you're almost persuaded and not quite persuaded, is that the next time you hear it, it won't be quite as powerful in your life. It begins to dwindle and diminish. The conviction begins to kind of waver. And you might find that that flicker begins to become comfortable, like the Phil Collins, No Jacket Required
song. I Don't Mind, I think, is the name of that song on that album. He says, almost persuadest thou me. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these bonds. He's happy. He's witnessing. He's standing before kings. He says, this is it right here. This is the best of life right here. I'm witnessing. I'm sharing my faith. And I'm being listened to. And I'm talking about Jesus. I'm telling you guys, there's a lot to be grateful for in this life and in this country that you and I have, that we can enjoy the opportunity to do these things. The Bible says, I wish you were all such as I am, except for these bonds. And at this point, the Bible says that Festus and Agrippa and Bernice and all them that sat with them went aside, and they began to talk. And they came up with these thoughts in verse 31. It says, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. That's what they concluded. He's done nothing worthy of that. It says, then Agrippa said to Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Now, you might not remember this because it's a lot to absorb, but Festus is the reason he appealed to Caesar. He was the guy. He said, do you want to go to Jerusalem? Maybe we can be... He knew. He knew if he went to Jerusalem that they would kill him. And it was Festus who pushed the issue and Paul appeals to Caesar. So in one sense, he's walking on eggshells with the king, Agrippa. But he said he might be set at liberty. You know, when you think of the way that the Lord does work in our lives, you can look at some of the vignettes through this chapter. Verse 17 says, one of the things Jesus promised him is that he would be delivered from the people and from the Gentiles. Verse 22, he says, I've obtained help of God and continue to this day. Here he is standing before kings, and he should have been dead a while back. He should have been dead in Damascus. He should have been dead in Jerusalem. The first time, he should have been dead when he was stoned with stone outside of Lystra. He should have been dead when he went back to Jerusalem and they grabbed him. He should have been dead with the conspiracy, but he's not. He continues. Why? Because God needed to get him to somebody else to tell them about Jesus. He's telling Agrippa right now. Why are you continuing? Why am I continuing? You see what I'm saying? We continue because God has something for us to do. And I want you to see, he says, in verse 8, he says, why should it be an incredible thing for you to think the dead are going to raise? Resurrection is huge. We are all going the way of all flesh if the Lord tarries. And we're going to have the hope of the promise. We're going to have that if we know Jesus. He says in verse 25, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak words of truth. Now listen, I want to conclude with these words. It's a song we sang years ago, haven't sang in a long, long time, because we're not as much focused on people getting saved. Concerts and song services are all oftentimes not dealing with winning people to Jesus. But you remember it, don't you? Almost persuaded. The words go this way. Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul could say, go Spirit, go thy way. Come see some more convenient day. On thee I'll call. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Almost the bitter wail. Almost, but lost. Those are words that we used to sing because it kept before our minds something. People are oftentimes accusing preachers who preach that Jesus is coming, one world government is coming, judgment is coming, wrath is coming, God's going to judge. He is! And they will say, well, that's a negative and that's a downer and I don't want to hear that. I don't really have a right to dictate what God wants us to know. But He wants us to know, if nothing else, there's a resurrection of the just and the unjust coming. And people need to prepare. Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.